everyone, welcome to this week's episode. We're talking about female superheroes. The conversation is just really continuing our series about the roles of women, and we dive into the concept of 2017 feminism. So let's get into it.
Just in superhero movies, but anything that kind of stars a woman or is made by a woman usually has feminist ties, like, or at least a feminist label, just because it has something to do with a woman, especially with like contemporary things. But we also see it a lot with older things, like the projection of our idea of feminism as it is today put on older things that were made by a woman, and were like Georgia O'Keeffe.
That's like, my like biggest example, because I feel like that one's super overt.
But it's just like
can it just be that, a flower?
That's what I was gonna say. There are certain things with that, like symbolically, that like if a woman makes something about being pregnant or like children, it's like that is feminist, because that's like such a thing that we associate with women. Same with like the flowers, or like certain like nature things are deeply associated with women, like just by default. And I think that applies to Georgia O'Keeffe.
Yes, I think that's probably, you're right, I forget about it. It's like biologically, I think it's like also what you were sort of like in nature, like there are certain things that like, but it all ties to like reproduction, which I think is interesting. It's like women are very like tied to reproduction also. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that's
right, which is why it goes with nature. It's like the
animalistic sort like of natural
lifestyle aspect of it. Life cycled. I don't know if I said life cycle or lifestyle, but I hope I said life cycle. But yeah, so anyways, superhero movies, we watched Wonder Woman and Captain Marvel as like a little, you know, to compare, but also to see if like the overtness is the same, if either are overtly feminist at all. And we have some different opinions, I think. So which one do you want to start with?
Well, overtly, I think that Wonder Woman is actually a bit more, and that may be, I think, one of Ivy's biggest, like, when she was trying to sell me this concept, if we'll say there was a pitch, I feel like one of your biggest parts of the pitch was talking about the year that it was made. I think that would be interesting for like us to dive into that 2017 feminist era. And I keep saying, I'm like, I don't know if we're on fifth wave. I don't even know if they're calling that anymore. I'm like, whatever the current era of feminism is. I think that would be interesting if you had any thoughts about like,
oh yeah,
it so being a product of that time.
You know I do. So first of all, yeah, it's worth noting Captain Marvel came out in 2019, Wonder Woman came out in 2017, and I feel a lot of things about 2017 feminism, because it was, I don't want to say more, it seemed louder than today's feminism. And I think it's interesting how quickly it has changed. And I have a lot of, you know, theories as to why it's so different now. But basically, 2017 feminism is, the way that I would categorize it is, it seemed like phase one for young women in particular. Like, it was actually not even just young women, because we talked about too, it's important to note that this is the era of 50 Shades of Grey. It's like a lot of, we're just admitting things, like as women, we're admitting that like, we don't want to smile all the time. We don't want to be pretty all the time. We don't want to be raised differently than men. We don't want to have sex that isn't fulfilling. It's like a lot of admitting of the problems and being direct with them, because I feel like in the years before that,
here are our demands.
Yeah, it was a lot more beat around the bush and a lot more kind of, I want to be like careful with how I word it. At the time, specifically 2017 too, is just very, we're coming into the beginning of the Trump presidency, it's a lot of anger. And like anger fueled this kind of direct clarity of what we want and what is not working for us. And then we get the little phrases of that time, like women supporting women. This is kind of coming, I think 2017 is the extension of the girl boss era. Like girl boss was a couple years before that, but we're getting the t-shirts that say raise boys and girls the same way. We get empowered women, empower women. And like all of those little buzzwordy phrases, because we're like, this needs to be understood. This needs to be everywhere. And what we talk about with Wonder Woman specifically is that it's more overt because it needed to be palatable to be commercially successful and to be in a male, traditionally male dominated like interest. Like superheroes are usually like a man's movie. Not that like women don't enjoy superhero movies. I've seen most of them, but like, you know what I mean? It's like, we were talking about this too last night. Like chick flicks are for women. Superhero movies are for men, traditionally. Like the
audience. This was an interesting breakthrough, because if you think about the concept of a chick flick and like why it's a chick flick, it's because it's like marketed towards women and it's like about things that are supposed to be, I guess, commercially more, I don't know, like storylines that women would want to go see in theaters. But then when we think about a Marvel or a DC movie, we can sort of think about them as movies that could be marketed towards men. And so it's interesting when you put a female protagonist sort of in that role for a non-chick flick, how that the way that like, oh, sort of in order to make it feminine or womanly or whatever you want to say, the writing has to be, like I said, like boiled down, like really direct. And that's why it sometimes comes across as cringe, because, because it's like, to us, it's cringe, but maybe not to a man, let's be honest. Right.
And that's what we were saying. Like, okay, we need to speak to a man who has seen the movies. Like, does it seem overt to you? Are you picking up on these like kind of buzzy quotes or like the direct, I don't want to say a jab, but it's like a direct like elbow, like with certain lines in the movie. And I mean, we wrote them down for Wonder Woman. Like there's,
there's the great one about sort of, she reads all these books about, you know, human pleasures or whatever. And at first you think it's going to be like, haha, some, you know, essentially, I guess she's like, it's kind of like what we would like the Kama Sutra sort of like, I guess her, you know, the Amazonian woman's sort of version is what you think it's going to be, but clearly it's not. It's like, that's just like that. You think that's sort of what she's talking about. And, or that's what the man thinks she's talking about. Like, I'm going to make this a thing. And then she's like, and I read all of those 12 volumes and all I realized that men were necessary for procreation, but not for pleasure.
And that's like so something of that time. And it still is so
something of that 2017.
It's more, I don't know, now it's kind of just like everyone knows, but like, you know what I mean? Like now everyone knows, like that's like a trendy TikTok thing right now is like men, have you seen that? It's a thing. Like men make TikToks and they're like, what is sex like for women? And then the comments are like, have you ever had like an itch and someone scratching like right below where you want it to be? Or like, it's like,
oh my gosh. So they, like, these are comments or are these TikToks?
These are comments. They're like, I saved it. It's like making cookies and then realizing you don't have any milk. Or like, you know what I mean? It's all of these things where it's like, you're close, but like not, you know? And that's happening now. That's like, but it's more fun for women. It's like a joke between women, you know, that it's like this, no one seems to be like really having the whole deal that they want. But like at this time, like 2017, it was more, I'm trying to think of, I don't know, at the time it was more just like, let's express new interests, you know, like all of the moms loved 50 Shades of Grey. Like that we were talking about this too, like, who was the audience for 50 Shades of Grey?
Agreed. I have no clue. I wonder what someone like a book publisher would say about that. Maybe it's like pretty clear that it's supposed to be like women in their 40s or whatever, but people our age were into them too, right? I feel like my sisters were reading them and they're much older. So it's like, there was people in their 30s, there were people in their 40s, there were people in their 50s, there were people who were 18. There were people, yeah. I don't know.
I worked at a movie theater at the time and like I had to card everyone to like get into.
So there was young people there too.
Yes. And like young people would freak out. Like high school girls were like, what do you mean? Like, I can't see 50 Shades of Grey. Or like, you know, trying to sneak into it, like buying tickets for something else to go into 50 Shades of Grey. And it's just like, I don't know. Like young people definitely liked it, but I think it like captured like moms and older by storm. Like there is
something. Do you think it's because it was like a closeted thing almost? Like closeted sexuality?
I think it was an alternative. I think even if you aren't into sex like that, you're like, oh my God, wait, like I don't have to have like missionary boring sex anymore or something. Like it seemed thrilling to someone who like has not seen an alternative, because a lot of women of that age too, like 50s and older, like don't watch porn. Or like, I mean, I don't want to say the numbers, but like my family members like claim, like my older women family members claim they've never watched porn and things like that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like they don't have the openness of mm-hmm. sexuality that like
young people. I feel like our generation is so different. It's just like they have like smutty fan fiction. I feel like that's like a whole thing too. Just
exactly. But I remember like everyone making a big deal out of 50 Shades of Grey, and like I watched it like while I was at work because I had to like just watch over the theater or whatever. And I was like, this is what people are freaking out about. Like they don't even show anyone naked. Like it's very like, I was like, this is pretty tame, like in general, you know, in terms of like, I thought this was going to be a huge scandal. And it's like very like the basics of like BDSM. I'm like, this, I don't know if this is like speaking to like it being disturbing how much like young people are exposed to versus like older generation.
That may be slightly disturbing. What do you think?
It is kind of disturbing because I was like, I don't know, 16, and like not to say that I was like partaking in things like that.
Smutty fan fiction is like those people who are writing that. I personally was a fangirl. I love fangirl culture too. But I guess, would we say that are people these days fanning over like TikTok boys? Is that the thing? Like if you're like 13?
I don't know.
I feel like it's like TikTok boys and maybe YouTubers.
Actually, that's interesting because like there isn't like a boy band of like this.
Well, there's BTS. Yet. I forget it all.
I feel like that still is kind of like, I don't know. I feel like that still applies to like people our age and like a little bit younger, but like tween girls and teen girls, I'm like,
okay. So like
they're Justin Bieber or One Direction is.
That's why I said I think it's TikTok boys.
That's so interesting. That is so interesting.
Like this because is 10 not 10 years ago, this was 2 years ago, but like, you know, like those,
no, I do,
Sway House, Hype House, all those like TikTok.
I feel so far removed from that. That's hilarious.
I mean, that was years ago now at this point, but
who are those YouTube brothers, like the one that became like a boxer?
Oh, the Pauls.
Yes, my little cousin who is
YouTubers.
Yeah, like when he was in middle school like a year ago, he liked this girl and he was like, oh, I don't have a crush on her anymore because she likes Jake Paul and Logan Paul. He was like, that's so gross. And I was like, huh? But it was just funny that like, yeah, I guess that is, they have social media figures, but it's weird to think that's not that far off from us. Like Justin Bieber started on YouTube. It wasn't like a
I am not by any means diminishing their celebrities. No. Like go off, do your fangirl, write show fan fiction, do your thing. Like
buy the merch, do it all.
Go to whatever, like what is, like go to TanaCon, do your thing.
Exactly. No, really. I was like an insane fangirl. I used to buy Justin Bieber's best friend's merch. Like I was like deep into like thinking all sorts of things. Like whatever, fangirling culture, that's a different day, because there's a lot there too.
No, but I'm just thinking about like the stuff that I see via different fangirl things. Sometimes my algorithm gets it real wrong and something will show up and I'm like, I literally do not know who this is. And it's like these like imagine scenarios and all these things. And I like kind of like, those are intense is what I'm trying to get at, is like, wow, these kids are getting started young on some pretty intense material. And that was all I was thinking about, because you were talking about, is it just that we were exposed to so much so young, or is it just that they were like suppressed and like expressing and finding alternatives? I think it was probably both.
But yeah, I think it's definitely like an accessibility thing too. Like my great aunt talks about this a lot. She's the number one, like, I have not watched porn, I never will type of gal. She is like, okay, well, like when I was your age, it was like the only way to watch it was to go see it in a movie theater. She's like, that's disgusting. Like that was like reserved.
Is that true?
Yes. And she was like, no fucking way would I do that. Like, that's disgusting. And I was like, okay, period. Like, yeah, I would also never do that. But like, I mean, now obviously there
that's
are
some fascinating.
Isn't it? And she was like, or like when I got a little bit older, it was like the era of like adult stores being like a popular thing. But she was like, it was so like embarrassing and shameful for you to like go and buy a DVD and then the person who's working there knows what you're buying and like it's, you don't want to be seen there. It's very like, you know, it wasn't as easy as it is now. I mean, we also like when I had Tumblr, like in middle school and high school, it was before it was censored. It was like literally anything goes. So like, even if you didn't want to see something or weren't seeking it out, like you would just
naturally come across it. That was where people would go to find it, because it was just every, and you're right. You, I was like, whoa, okay, whoa. I would be like, I'd be following someone. Yes. And it was like me fangirling over someone. And exactly. All of a sudden I'd be like, whoa. Like it was so uncensored. That was a wild era.
But also like never forget too, like the middle school thing at like sleepovers and birthday parties was like, let's go on Omegle. Let's go on like yes. Chat Roulette. And there's always some dude disgusting, like jerking off, like, you know, like there were so many scenarios where it was like, you would stumble across it even if you weren't seeking it out, which is like the difference, I think. Like it was unavoidable for us, and for them, they were like, please let's avoid it.
But like, wow, we really got far from that. But I think that gives us a full sort of idea about the fact that it's definitely a combination of overexposure and like unintentional exposure to these things. When that came out, of course you weren't shocked maybe as you probably should have been, or I think I saw it too, but I don't remember. I haven't read the books. My sister did, but my sister is just like one of those people who can read a book in like 5 seconds, and so she just like she's just one of those people. And so I think she just sort of like, I'll just read them quickly. And she did. But I definitely think I saw the first movie, but it was like later. And it was definitely like you're saying in one of these like sleepover contexts where we were like, ha ha ha, this will be so funny. Or like, I don't know, which I think is interesting in itself. It's like creating like a,
yeah, like honestly,
like the magic mics.
Yeah. I was just going to say what I'm thinking about those is like, not only is the audience unclear, like who it's made for, but also like what genre is that? It's not a chick flick because it's not like romantic in a traditional sense, but like it's not porn because like they're actually not showing as much as you would for, it's like, what even is that? Like a chick action movie? Like, I don't know what.
Action.
Different kind of action, but.
That's a nice word choice.
Thank you so much. I thrive under pressure. But I don't know. The other what seemed overt to me, I guess, in Wonder Woman was like, we have to talk about the secretary, because that was the other big spot that we were like, ooh. So basically the context of this is Chris Pine's character introduces Wonder Woman to his secretary, and says, "This is my secretary, whoever." And Wonder Woman is like, "What is a secretary?" And the secretary pipes in and says, "I go where he wants me to go. I do what he asks me to do." And then Wonder Woman says, "Where I'm from, that's called slavery," which like also speaks of like the extreme, like 2017 was also like a time of like extremes, you know, to like,
it gets the point across like for sure. But I told you,
I know what you meant.
I just think that word choice is like kind of shocking and surprising. I just don't know if I would ever, as a writer, I love how I like to, as if I'm a writer. False. But I feel like I would never use that word because that's just like so painful for so many people. I don't know. I feel like it's just like so strong and it's like too tied to other things. Like it's too tied to race that even though I guess there's like, I guess sexual slavery is also a concept, but I also have to remember, I'm like, I'm in a very, you know, like I'm coming from an American, like I have to think about like the reason why I feel that way about the word. I'm sure like even British people don't feel that way about that word. Like that's super interesting when you think about it. I think like, you know, as we keep saying, linguistics fascinating, but this is a, you know, an American produced movie. So I just thought that was interesting, but I think it is pointing to, as you're saying, like the extremes and like the choice of that word. I feel like as much as I don't like the choice, I feel like it is probably pretty accurate. And what she's sort of saying is like, because slavery is like also like connected to like labor, right? And work. And I feel like that is more what she's implying is like the emotional labor.
Right. It's to do what someone else is telling you to do, not like a, oh, I do it because I want to, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Or in receiving any sort of payment or anything reciprocated at all. It's like a completely one-sided, like.
Right. Which dynamic. Also, for me, I mean, it had me rethinking, you know, what is an assistant and a secretary, like the roles that are often given to women. Like I have never worked anywhere where the assistant or secretary was a man, and it's not that they don't exist, but it's just very like there's a lot being implied not only in like the power dynamics of like the women's assigned role is below the powerful one, like they are serving the powerful role, but serving the person playing like the powerful role, but also in a way to be a secretary or an assistant is still to be kind of like caretaking in a way, because it's not just like, okay, do these administrative tasks. It's also a lot of personal tasks.
It's very like, personal, and it's like specific, and it's like spontaneous. It's very like,
yes, and this in the movie,
she's to every that. Whim.
Yes, in the movie, she's like, before they even had this conversation, like when she sees Chris Pine, the secretary is like, "Oh my God, I've been so worried about you. I thought you were dead." You know, it's like she has this kind of like emotional, you know, a caring emotional tie to
a caretaker vibe.
Yes. Of course, women cannot escape the caretaker role. But then also, you know, obviously we still have secretaries and assistants like that. I don't see that role ever going away.
So I have a question or a thought about that caretaking role and like why women are in that. I think there's, I'll see if you agree with me or disagree with me about this, but do you think that that is tied to an idea that women like naturally and like biologically are connected to being able to like mother and care like whatever mothering even means, but do you see what I'm saying? Do you think that's because of like a supposed natural inclination for those types of things? Do you think that's why that's the case?
Yeah, I also think it plays into the idea of women being more emotional than men. I think emotion is usually what's tied to the caring, which I don't know how I feel about. Like, they're not separate, but they can exist separately, I think. Like, you can be emotional and not be taking on a caretaker role all the time. or like you can be caring and not be doing like the emotional labor of someone, or like, yeah, I think it definitely comes from like that biological,
that sort of natural instinctual nurturing sort of we're supposed to have, which I again brings us back to this whole sort of like the Maggie Gyllenhaal film where, you know, I'm not a natural mother, like all this. I feel like that's why that's an interesting
comment. It definitely is, because that's also a big thing. Like, I feel like something that's commonly discussed in terms of like the roles of parents is like men kind of express like being less helpful to like a newborn child because they can't feed it like a mother can, and like, you know, feeling like slightly less close to the child because like obviously the mother's going to spend more time with it if she has to feed it every few hours or something, and they can't. And like, so from the start, it's often already imbalanced in like how much you feel like you can care, whether you're like the mother or the father. Isn't that like, I don't know how I feel about that yet. But also, back to the secretary role, I was telling you about I definitely did not like invent this as a concept, but I'm just very interested in the fact that like the even more kind of modern future-y version is that Siri and Alexa are assistants in a way, and they're both women. And like you can change the voice of Siri, but the default is a woman. Alexa, I don't even think you can change the voice of Alexa, but you definitely can't change her name, which is very much so a girl's name, you know? What is that saying?
I thought this was so interesting. I'd never thought about this.
There's a lot being said there. I just, like, it almost furthers this idea of, like, women take on these roles of making your life easier. Like, they are kind of taking on the work that other people don't want to do to make something easier for everyone but them, which I hate. And we kind of talked about that too last night after Wonder Woman. Like, even the ending, she doesn't get what she wants. Chris Pine dies, she saves the world. And it's like, yay, I saved the world. Everyone else is like partying in the streets as a war ends, as they do. This is about like World War I, by the way. I don't know if we, you know, fully said. Not about World War I. It's definitely not like a historical movie, but like it's set in World War I. And anyway, so yeah, she saves the world, but it doesn't end up with the person who she loves. And it's like she was caring to the point of her own kind of detriment, that like everyone is good, and in a way she is, but it still is like, that's like the woman experience in a lot of ways to me. It's like it's close like that, which goes back to the sex thing. It's close like that, but it's not totally, you are never fully getting what you want. Like, yay, saved the world, but I don't fully have it all because man's is dead, like, you know. And that honestly to me kind of plays into what we were saying too a couple episodes ago, of like the beef that women have with other women is we have this idea that like women can't have it all. Like you can't have all of the great traits and a great, like we place that on other women too, like this idea of like not having total fulfillment, which is sad. Like,
or that it's just everything is a choice. It's like, well, if we're gonna bring, you know, Imrata back into this discussion, it's like, don't be hot only and don't be a mom. Like, that's what people are essentially, you know, screaming at her for. So there's so many examples of this. And I think in these superhero movies, what's interesting is there's this, like, we were talking about this too, like physical strength and also like emotional strength. Mm-hmm. And that is like usually extremely separated.
Yeah.
And to see both of them is like very, like to see them so, like, I guess like the whole point of this movie is like, especially in Wonder Woman, I told you, I actually don't think, I think honestly the character the Captain Marvel character is pretty emotionless, but I think that's like part of like the character, actually. At least in the beginning, she's like, you know, must do that. Like, I think maybe that's like part of her, part of the actual, I don't know how to say it, like post becoming, like post getting her power, she's a little bit more robotic. Like when you see her like in the flashback, she's like more of like a human, I guess. But
remember though, like they acknowledge that though, like when they are training her to like be fighting, when she's like doing the martial arts stuff with that one guy, he's like, you're letting your emotions get to you. Like, you need to focus. Like, if you're going to win a battle, like, if you're going to do this, this, and this, like, you need to, like, control your emotions, which is so very much, like, an idea of power, is to be emotionless.
Exactly. So I think her sort of, actually, so in both movies, they're actually told that by the people that train them. Because remember, the aunt also sort of, the aunt of Diana, Wonder Woman, she also says something along like, you know, you've got to fight, you know, sort of when they're doing their whole little sword fighting sequence, like, you know, get a grip, essentially. And sort of the same thing. But I feel like what I was saying was with the characters themselves, I actually think that the Diana Wonder Woman character does sort of display both of them. But I don't know if that's honestly, I don't know if that's just because she has a love interest, which is kind of fascinating to think about.
Oof.
Do you see what I'm saying now? Actually, I'm like, when she expresses those things, it's like kind of towards him, which I think is actually now sort of gross now that I think about it. But I think that Brie Larson's character in Captain Marvel is just like pretty stoic, like for the most part. Like, she's done the whole I'm going to suck it up and just be strong sort of act. For the most part, like there are a few, you know, emotional breakthrough moments, but I don't feel like they're sort of as organic. They're more just like, oh, I don't want the kid to die, which is like, I don't know, a little bit more.
That's so super interesting.
Yeah. But I do agree that I think they both were sort of told, like, in order to be strong, you need to be able to, like, you're being too emotional, and that, like, emotions, like, in their framework that those people are saying are, like, entirely, like detract from them and their strength, which is
as if you can even get rid of one entirely, you know? Like, that's the, I think about that every single time something, like, comes down to only two options like that. Like, you can kind of measure out the levels, sort of, if you have like a lot of self-control, I guess, and you're really self-aware, but like, you are never not gonna have a little bit of either, you know? Like, you can be physically strong or like superhero strong, I guess, but like, you're never not gonna have emotions. Or like, even if I'm super emotional, it's not like I don't have an ounce of strength, or like, you know, it's very, that's how separately we view them, which is just, I mean, it sounds like, it's like almost silly, like when you break it down that way, like obviously they're not that separate.
Obviously it's not possible.
Exactly. But it's like something that's so deeply ingrained into like our ideas of power and strength and honestly gender roles. That, like,
speaking of all those things, it ideas of power, strength, and gender roles, we have to talk about like the manifestation of their physical strength as well, and why, like, they, like, their body types and stuff. I would still say, I was actually thinking about this the other day, like, it's like a, I don't want to use this word, but this is like what I would say, people like a tasteful amount of muscles. Like, it's not that, do you know what I'm saying by that though? Like, we're not giving bodybuilder, we're giving like tone and long and lean, which is the ideal. Like, that's like a whole thing. Like, that men are like, ew, I don't like a girl with like a too many muscles, like, which is such a terrible. Yeah. I'm like, giving a big eye roll.
Yeah. Because like, hello, it's like, it threatens them. Like, make it less obvious. I'm just like, this is boring. Like, that's what is the actual problem with that? Clearly there isn't one, you know?
No, exactly. Clearly there's not an actual problem with it. It's totally a, like I said, a challenge to a power dynamic and a challenge to an ideal.
Yeah.
And,
a perceived idea.
Yeah. And so it's interesting that a superhero would then therefore still need to be within this category of tasteful muscles and not, like, not actually what they should be in theory.
Yeah, true. But it's, like, interesting because she still is long and lean but can, like, lift up a car. I'm like, oh, interesting. I thought that was kind of reserved for more of, like, a Mr. Incredible type of body type. But because he does that in The Incredibles, you know?
Like, giant shoulders.
Exactly. Like, just, like, a big, like, rectangle of a man, basically. But
block.
Yeah, exactly. But another thing that, like, another one of the quotes that I was like, ooh, was in Wonder Woman 2. She's, like, so thrown off when Ares says, we cannot save, or no, it's not, it's Chris Pine's character. He's like, we cannot save everyone in this war. It's like when they first go to the front and she's being exposed to, like, the traditional ills of war and seeing people struggle, and she's like, we have to help them. And he's like, we need to keep moving. This isn't the main focus. We can't save everyone. And she, like, starts freaking out, you know, and that's when she has her first big sequence of, like, oh yeah, well, I'm gonna do it. And then, like, walking directly into the front and having, like, the explosions behind her and, like, the wind and the hair and, like, all of that, you know. But that's also another thing too, is, like, not only is it, like, the caretaking role of women is not reserved just for, like, the people that are close to you. Like, to be a woman in a caretaking role is, like, I'm going to take care of everyone. And, like, that's not just in the superhero movies. Remember a couple of years ago when it was in New York, there was a bunch of, like, Nazi graffiti, like, in the subways, and women, like, took stuff out of their bags and cleaned it themselves, like, just women passengers on the subway.
I didn't know about this.
Yeah, this was like a little, a fun day in the news, I think. But it's, like, brought up a lot of articles and conversation about, like, okay, even the fact that women have to carry big purses around all the time because they feel like they have to be prepared for so many different things speaks to the caretaking role. Like, that is amazing that that many women had, like, towels and tissues and hand sanitizer and, like, wipes in their bags, that they single-handedly cleaned all of the graffiti. And it was to protect, you know what I mean? It was, like, to take care of
the community.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, it had nothing to do with them, you know? Like, I think that was maybe, like, 2018-ish, maybe 2019, I'm going to find it. But, like, you can't, it's not even just taking care of the man or, like, your family. It's just, like, everyone. It's on you, like, everyone.
The funny thing about that concept is, like, if we just look back to, like, ancient civilizations, like, that will always be the case. Like, it's like the men go off to war and be strong and, like, fight the enemies, and the women stay home. And, like, I think that it's actually, when I think about, like, a hunter gatherer concept, I actually think the gathering and, like, the taking care of the children role is way harder. Like, I guess fighting, like, it is more dangerous, of course, to go fight. But I feel like that's just way more exhausting. I'd rather go maybe potentially die and fight someone.
Yeah. Have you seen, like, the recent research on that? I forget who published it, but basically someone was saying, like, everyone thinks, like, the men had the more important role because they were, like, feeding the communities and stuff. But a lot of times hunting wasn't successful. So it was, like, women were the ones who were, like, really doing the feeding with, like, the stuff that they gathered, and, like, we have the ideas kind of mixed up that, like, they were the ones that were, like, ultimately saving the day, because it was, like, the idea of, like, the plan B, like, the always being prepared.
Do you know like what civilization they were tying this to? Or
I honestly don't remember. I have to find the article, but I did just find the graffiti on the subway thing. And oddly enough, I was wrong. It was 2017. So this is just becoming a 2017.
That era. Back to 2017. I just love that it's such a definable moment in sort of like feminist history, because I mean, it's right off of Trump's election. I told you there's women's marches. I just think that honestly, people get fired up. And I mean, I think we can sort of think about that in a lot of ways.
But I just Googled like the date of the Women's March too. This is like such, I just need to make my own personal timeline of 2017.
Was it also 2017?
Yes, it was January of 2017. Yes. This graffiti thing was February of 2017.
Yeah. So this year was really doing something. There was something in the air.
2017 needs to be thoroughly studied.
No, I totally believe in something as like, you know, earth-shattering as Trump's election. I think that is like 1,000% responsible for a lot of this. And I'm even thinking about if we can say that there are definitely some, you know, there was some also, I'm like, the Nazi graffiti, that also adds up if you think about it. So there's a lot of things. And I think women in that year were feeling like they wanted to sort of get a piece of them back. I feel like a lot of people were actually quite scared, you know, like what are going to happen to my rights? And I think that's fair and valid. So I can kind of understand this response when I think about it more. Because do you remember that? I feel like there was a big even discussion, even recently when, you know, the abortion laws in Texas and things like that. I feel like there was a big period of time too, where like even just like women were really scared about their rights too. And
also Me Too was 2017.
What was 2017?
Me too.
Okay, so exactly. It was a this domino was a big effect. Year for us. It was just a wave. That wave of 2017. Yeah, I think that's so interesting. That totally falls into your theory of like things were just being aired out in the open for the first time, like and all on all fronts.
No, it was, because it was like political, it was cultural, like it was the beginning of what the past few years have been, like definitely like a pivotal shift. And I think that's why, I mean, like what we were talking about with Captain Marvel, it's a little less overt, which is interesting that you can see the difference in something that came out only 2 years later, you know?
I told you, I was like, I don't really feel like there's any spin to the second hour. I felt like I was watching Captain America. You know what I mean? I was like, this is no different. Which honestly, I think there's also merit to that. I would prefer to feel that all of them were no different in a lot of ways, because I think I feel like the reason I even brought up this topic was because in that initial episode, when we considered sort of the concept of a female superhero, it's really all about the idea that you have to place female in front of the word superhero in general. That bothers me. And that is always like a qualifier. And so the fact that, you see where I'm going with this, the fact that it doesn't feel like a female superhero movie and it feels like a superhero movie in itself feels great to me in some ways, because then I don't feel like I have to get the chick flick version. I deserve the version that makes me feel like I'm just enjoying it because I'm enjoying it, not just because I'm a woman.
And it's weird because you feel as a woman like a certain amount of pressure to like things like that, though. Like
we've talked about this,
but like when I saw Little Women, I knew I was supposed to like it and I hated it.
We both didn't like Little Women,
but it's just like there are things like that that like, you know, you like want to root for because you're like, I know what they're doing here, I know what the point is. Like
what year was Little Women? Look that up.
That was recent.
2019 maybe.
Really? Okay, hold on.
Look, I'm not positive, but Little Women, I didn't like.
It was 2019. That feels like a lot more recent to me, but yeah, interesting.
I just feel like I didn't like that because I, you know, I grew up with those books and I actually felt like they, didn't you we've talked about this, but I think like the spin on it was kind of like, I don't know. I didn't like the, maybe I just didn't like the writing or something, or like the storyline that they had created.
Yeah, they changed the main character to be more feminist than she really was.
Yeah.
And she has her big like feminist like rant like towards the end where she's like, I don't want to be married. I don't want, you know what I mean? And she like has that big explosive moment before she starts writing the book. Do you remember that?
Yes. And I remember the director was
Greta Gerwig.
Yep. And she was a moment, and she's definitely a part of that. I would say same sort of like these films that I feel like are very like with like a strong female lens.
Oh yeah.
Which she's, I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's great. It's just like, yeah. I definitely associate her with like those type of films, which I think is like, I don't know if I like that necessarily, but.
You know what's so interesting though, is like, even before she was directing these, right now she's working on the Barbie movie, which I think is fascinating.
That is so fascinating that she's now to Barbie.
That's
fascinating that she would agree to do that.
I know it's
gonna against her logic.
It's gonna be super feminist. Like, I am ready for it.
I can't wait to dive into the Barbie movie.
Yeah, no, I'm really truly looking forward to it. But it went from Lady Bird to Little Women to Barbie, which is a really interesting progression. But also, even prior to like directing those, she was still in. She plays a super feminist character.
She acted. I forgot about this.
Yeah, she in 20th Century Women. I don't know if you've seen it, but yes. Like, yeah, she teaches the son of like the friend or whatever. She gives him a bunch of feminist books and is like, you know, like you need to do it right. Like you need to be a feminist. If you are going to like be a man who sleeps with women, like you need to do it right. And remember, the little kid like takes her advice. And like, that's like one of the best scenes of the movie, is he's at like a skate park and this like older, cool high school boy is like, oh, like I was fucking whoever. And like, she came and all this stuff. And then like the dorky boy who's been reading like the feminist books was like, oh, well, how did you do it or something? And he was like, what do you mean? Like, I just did it. And he was like, no, you can't do that without like clitoral stimulation. And then he gets beat up. But for like saying, which is like hilarious. But anyways, yeah, it's interesting that that's her
progression.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, Greta Gerwig is someone to like talk about alone too, because also her husband is the director of A Marriage Story.
Are they like, married? I don't know if they're married, but
I think they are.
But yeah, that was a whole thing too. That movie was, didn't it win a bunch of Oscars or something as well? It was a big deal when it came out because everyone was talking about just like how well it was written, like how real it was and everything. And
well, it was literally about his own divorce. And I was thinking like, you have to be a strong woman and be in like a strong, stable relationship for the person you're with to make a very important big movie about the person he was with before that, you know? But let's see. I'm double checking this.
She's definitely someone to think about. But again, someone I would think about as someone that you could actually say female director, and it sort of fits because that's like kind of also what she does. It's more or less the case with someone like, let me think of another. I probably can think of like another. I feel like even like Sofia Coppola, I don't know. I don't really think of her, but.
Best love.
I don't know. I like, there's certain people that I don't.
Her stuff to me though, you're right. Like they are, I don't know. She is someone that would probably be caught up in like getting the female director like title because her movies are about women. But like her, I don't know. Those don't feel super overt to me either. That goes back to our whole original
point. That's why I brought her up, because that's a complicated example.
But that goes back to our main point of like anything that stars women or is made by a woman is automatically going to get that kind of treatment of like the expectation that it's going to be feminist, or like the expectation that it's going to be about like strong female lead characters, or you know what I mean? Like, it's never like, they're not going to make a movie where it's like a dainty girl in the back, you know? is the expectation anyways.
And that's why these superhero films are fascinating, because it's like physically strong, emotionally strong, like
they kind of are the ones that are the closest to having it all.
Yeah, that's why I find like it's actually kind of an interesting concept as a whole, because,
and I guess I kind of like the comparison between Wonder Woman and Captain Marvel, because you're right, like Captain Marvel doesn't have a love interest. So it's interesting because that is truly like, okay.
I hate that that's such a big piece of it. But when I really thought about that, when I said that out loud, I went, oh my gosh, the love interest drives so much of the characters. Like, a lot of that movie. And I think that,
and that's,
I don't know how I feel about that.
I mean, to pick a hot guy like Chris Pine too is for women. Like, well, that does nothing for men in an audience. I mean, like, you know? Men are used to seeing ugly men with hot women. Like, that is like an everyday walking down the street occurrence. But like, a hot man in a movie like that next to a hot woman is for the woman viewer. And you said, like, when we were watching, like, you referred to him like as eye candy. Like, it's,
I was
true.
Like, Chris Pine is doing it for me.
You can get it. Yeah, exactly. And I don't know. With Brie Larson's character, it's almost like, it's nice to see that that's not what it was about for her, basically, you know, that it's like possible to have inner strength and all of that without needing it for a man. I don't know. We have options, at least, which is also nice.
That's good to know that I don't have to do just one thing.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And right now we're at an either or. With those
two options, fabulous.
Yes, we're back to our good two option discussion. But you know, I mean, I guess that's kind of what I want to look for in the future movies. There's supposed to be a movie, I don't know if this is confirmed or if it was like Marvel nerds speculating, but like, you know, Iron Man dies like in the last Avengers or something, and he has a daughter. And they're like, okay, she's going to be the next superhero then. Like, people think, like, it's going to be about the children, like, in the coming years.
I would love a techie billionaire heiress superhero. That would be straight
mom
up my...
is Gwyneth Paltrow? That's my new favorite superhero, and I don't even know her yet. But
can I play her?
Like... Yeah, right? Exactly. Like, that will be major. But... what I was saying with that, I guess, is what I want to look for in like the future superhero movies to come that star women is the nuance in between, you know, like maybe we don't have to have the either or anymore. We already have them. Like, what's going to fall in the middle? You know, I don't know. That'll be interesting, I think.
On to the next progression, and let's keep leveling up.
Onward and upward, ladies.
Yes. Forces unite.
Honestly, what is, okay, you know how we were talking about like the buzzy phrases of 2017? I'm like, what is it now? I'm like, there are still internet phrases, but they're not like feminist ones that I can think of like that. I'm like,
yeah, because we were talking about how like girl boss is now kind of like an icky phrase.
Oh my god, no one wants to be a girl boss. The girl boss is dead.
So exactly, I don't know if there are as defined sort of, like, yeah, anyone who thinks there is one, like, please tag us. Please show us. Like, if you have any thoughts, always please tag us. But send us in a direction.
The most recent thing that I can think of, which I wouldn't even say is feminist, it was just like a cultural thing, was like hot girl summer. That's the last like buzzy woman phrase.
Oh yeah, and that was like 2 years ago, right? By now?
Yes. I'm like, but then people were like, okay, hot girl autumn when like Taylor Swift's album came out or whatever. So I'm like, what's our new phrase, ladies? I feel like we should claim it for ourselves. I don't want it to be a marketing scheme this time. Like, what is our, I'm like, I'll claim onward and upward, ladies, for now, but that's just in the drafts. There's something better. I know it. But yeah.
And with that, we leave you. Onward and upward, ladies.
Which is still kind of like superhero-y because remember we were talking about how they like float down to the ground all the time and like, yes, the pose of like launching up into the
Giving
air.
Sailor Moon.
Yes, we're all heroes here, but okay, bye.
No, but actually, so bye.
All right, thanks for listening. And to find out more about the podcast and what we're up to, head to unrealisticprojects.com. And don't forget to follow us at Unrealistic Projects on Instagram.